This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
What a week to be alive, Sabrina Hahn.
What?
The 1st of August. Happy birthday, horses. Happy birthday, pigeons. Happy birthday, everyone else whose birthday it is.
It's in August.
It is in August.
I've had the bestest week.
Tell me about it.
Really, I've just been fairly fanging it in the garden. I've ripped stuff out. I've planted, I reckon I would have put in 100 plants.
Wow.
Ripped out.
That is exciting. And
five.
I love it that you do this. It's not just that I'm going to live with that forever.
No.
It's like I want it to be new.
Because nature evolves and so should your garden. That's the tip for gardeners this morning. Let your garden evolve.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck with something that you're just bored with or you don't like anymore or it just doesn't grow because it doesn't live in Switzerland.
This is a strong point that you make. Claire is calling from Geelong. Hi, Claire.
Claire, hello.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Oh, exceptionally well.
I, like you, Sab, have been in my garden all week. It's been fantastic.
Oh, isn't it the bestest feeling ever? Just digging in the dirt, getting sheep poo under your fingernails and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So, I get to have the satisfaction of pruning at the moment, so I have all my fruit trees.
Oh, marvellous.
And my neighbours are coming along and going, ooh. I'm like, and one has to laugh at me because he's 6'2" and I'm bringing mine down to my height.
And so you should, Claire. You need to be able to reach your fruit. That's what I reckon.
Yes, indeed. And I definitely need to get a stabby sabby, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
Yes. So I'm calling today about the couch grass invasion in my every garden bed, pretty much.
So I've seen your picture.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
Oh, yes.
It's shocking, and it has got out of control. Now, Claire, good news for you is they make a selective herbicide that only kills grasses. So anything with a flower, it doesn't affect. But couch grass goes, goodbye to you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is that the sound with the F?
Yes, with the FU. Yep.
Yes.
Yep, that's the one. And that's exactly what it does to the couch.
I wasn't sure if that's a generic name or if that's actually the brand name.
That's a brand name, which is why I can't spell the entire thing.
We are off to the races.
But it works a treat, honestly, Claire. It's great.
Yeah, good luck with that because I'd imagine the soil is way less – it's not sandy like it is here in WA, and getting the root system out on couch, what a nightmare.
You can't. You have to dig down a metre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say it's the benefit of being in Geelong, though couch is one of those fantastic things where it does actually hold moisture in the soil, I will say
that.
Yeah, It actually – it helps compost itself.
Yep, absolutely. And then And then it invades every single garden bed that you have at home.
Yes, including Claire, around my fruit trees.
Thank you for calling, Claire. It is nearly coming up for 9:10 here on Roots and Shoots on Roots and Shoots. Feel free to call 1300 221 025. We have all the lines free because I didn't put the call out, and perhaps you You went off and put the kettle on and forgot to ring Sabrina. She is here at your disposal.
I am. But people have texted in.
Phil in Mandra says, yes. My garlic is going okay. Thanks for your advice. Congratulations to you, Phil. It does look good in those wine barrows, doesn't it? Very nice. Scale has invaded my magnolia. I have sprayed it with white oil. How often do I repeat it and how do I know they're dead? Can I scrape them off or will they fall off? Says Teresa.
They will not fall off. Uh-huh. They will remain stuck. Now, how do you know they're dead? With your thumb and forefinger. Oh, it's the pearl scale. You squish it. If red or orange comes out, there are the little babies. It's still alive. Now, because of the life cycle of scale, you need to do repeat sprays every 2 weeks and usually for 3 consecutive times.
Okay.
So 6 weeks overall, 2 week gap. And what I like to do is bring out the high pressure hose so that the ones that are dead, you blow them off.
There you go.
Dying, you blow them off in between the sprays.
Seriously, a high pressure, you can't just like put it on the seriously squirt function? Like,
there's no fun in that. You want to bring the tools out of the shed. So
okay, you own one.
Of course.
She's
I own like Matic's and the Stabby Sabby. I own all the tools. I've got electric secateurs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they are awesome. Like? You can't hear them. They're a little battery and it just goes... Well, it goes beep when you turn it on. It'd take your finger off, no worries at all.
Okay.
You must use it with the utmost caution.
Lack of alcohol. Definitely. Not even a Panadol.
Do not go out pruning with the old electronic ones after a bottle of red wine.
There we go. Kate's in Mosman Park with a Miss Moffat. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Kate. Oh, Kate, are you there?
She's there. Kate. Woohoo. I'm going to put Kate back on hold.
It's kind of got gremlins.
Not quite sure what's going on. Dave and Busso, here's yes. the question, says, we're rewilding a block in Beauvelle, having given away the cottage garden standard roses, etc. We have lots of self-seeded peppermint trees, which the ringtail possums love, probably a metre high now. The question is, should we underprune to encourage height? They are tending towards bushiness at this present.
Yes, I would definitely underprune them. I think peppermints look really lovely as a tree with an umbrella top rather than a gnarly bushy looking thing.
Yeah.
So underprune, do it now.
Do not wait. Hello, Sabrina. I want to take cuttings from my Calancho Napoleon's hat. How and when?
Okay, so that's Calanchoe bahariensis.
Nice.
Has gigantic leaves. They're like about 50 centimetres long and they're thick and... prehistoric looking. Okay, so don't take cuttings at the moment. I would wait until the end of September. You need to come not the very tip cuttings down say 10 centimetres from the top. You need 3 nodes. They grow from a cutting so easily. They're
beautiful.
No, that's an entirely different thing. In fact, that's probably in Borneo and that's the one there.
This is the one we're talking about.
Yeah, so it's got they grow them all through Morocco. They're extraordinary. Anyway. They're the ones. Wait until mid-September to take your cuttings.
Kate, come in, Kate. Kate, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, fabulous. What can we do for you, Kate?
Sorry about that, and thank you for taking my call. Yes, I've got some Miss Muffets, about 9 years old, and a lot of them, and some of them are shaped in dark green leaves.
Yep.
And others are throwing up or are now gone completely, tiny little leaves, very yellow. I can't see a thrip or a mite or anything growing on them. And I just want to know what it could possibly be.
Okay, so now Miss Moffat are really susceptible to root knot nematode. So if they're going off a bit, the one that's gone off the most and not looking the best, I want you to dig it up and have a look at the root system. They also get a fungal disease which starts right at the base of the plant. They get covered in mealybug or cottony cushion scale. But that you would see those on the leaves. Yeah. I reckon it's probably root knot nematode or it's rot. So root knot nematode, you can actually buy a predatory nematode, but you can't release those until the weather warms up a bit. So there's plenty of bug shops that you can buy bugs from. If it's rot, then you can try doing Mancozeb or the same spray they use for Phytophthora.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you very much for that. Well, I think it's coming out, actually.
Oh, sorry,
so we'll
Kate.
We'll look at the roots because it seems one plant in particular, the whole plant is affected, not just a few new leaves at the top.
Yeah.
So I'll pull it out. Okay, thank you. I didn't think of nematodes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Sorry, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. Microphone on. Man of the hour, if not man of the year, possibly man of the lifetime. Kingsley Dixon, welcome to Roots and Shoots.
Oh, dear.
We're so excited to have you on the show.
Oh, it's fabulous. And you know what? I turned up this time, didn't I, Sabrina?
Yeah, I know. That's why I texted Kingsley this morning at 7:30 to remind him that we would be ringing him this morning. Now, for people that don't know or the people that listened on Tuesday, Kingsley took me into his glass house and showed me something terribly exciting, and I had to burst forth with the news as soon as I came into the studio. And what have you done, Professor Kingsley Dixon? Well, not just you, you've a whole team.
The PhD students and associates that we have in the lab, and they've been working for a number of years, and I acknowledge that they're extraordinary people. They're passionate about orchids, but we had a beautiful flowering and of the Queen of Sheba, which, you know, is quite the showgirl when she gets into action. For lots of reasons, of course.
She is splendid.
Yeah. It's a good name for the orchid because, of course, the Queen of Sheba was quite the siren of ancient times, alluring in unsuspecting men.
and having her way with them, doing them away entirely.
Well, of course, yeah, but the Queen of Sheba orchid does the same illusionary trick. It actually brings native insects that would normally go to the blue tinsel lily, the orchid puts on the wonderful camouflage of pretending to be an even bigger and more colourful tinsel lily. And so the poor unsuspecting insect visits that. And you know, it's a great and successful system for pollination.
And she was on the brink of extinction, and you've saved her. Tell me what you and your team have done.
So the research team, they're working across all of the, because there's four species that are really the targets. And it's all the sun orchids, of course. Because we have the most extraordinary sun orchids in the southwest. Everyone knows the Blue Lady orchid, which is the world's only true blue orchid, common in the Darling Range, of course, in our wonderful Jarrah Forest. But the process was perfected by one of our colleagues in the lab, Mark Brundrett, and it's a technique where you're able to get the really elusive fungus that the orchid just loves and get that out, perfect its pure culture, just like growing mushrooms at home. And essentially the process is a glorified mushroom kit. And some people might remember a few years ago I developed the orchid seed kit, which had donkey orchids and spider orchids in it. Yeah. Great success. In fact, too much of a success. It looked like all we were going to do is spend our day packing little boxes with those. Look, the grand vision is ultimately down the track is to have those sort of kits available for schools so they can grow their own orchids, including hopefully the Queen of Sheba. Remembering a single seed pod produces literally tens of thousands of good viable seeds. But that's the way nature risk manages growing this orchid in bushland.
Yeah.
It only needs one out of 10,000 to actually germinate, and it can keep replacing the individual. And they're very long-lived as well. But, yeah, it's a great story, and getting the fungus, getting it to grow, and then getting it to the mature plant. And do they grow well?
Is it all species, Kingsley, or is it one particular species?
Well, all of our orchids have various fungi, and the spider orchids are the really temperamental ones.
Right.
They're the complicated ones. The great news with that is we've achieved, and this is working with colleagues at the Royal Botanic Gardens Kew, we've managed to achieve from seed to flowering in now two species of spider orchids in 11 months.
Wow.
Which is a world record. Even stunned me. And what we're doing is now trying to refine that method. So ultimately, we want communities to be growing their own backyard native orchids from there, helping their local governments, helping their local schools to get
Where do we sign up? How can we do it?
Well, just be patient. Yeah, yeah. Look, we're setting up a little website.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a really lovely website. And on that, we're going to be reaching out. It's going to be in the next couple of months. We're going to be talking to communities about how we make real community capability. The thing is to take the white lab coat off and to get into the garden with our orchids and our conservation. And I think that's going to be the future. And as long as it's done responsibly and it's done with the permits in place, I think every bushland patch, as we used to have as kids, always had orchids. We can bring the orchids back. That's the vision.
It's so exciting.
Professor Kingsley Dixon, thank you so much. And congratulations to you and the team. What extraordinary work. And it's so lovely to have some good news. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Okay. See ya.
That honestly just makes me happy, this show. I love my job.
Isn't it good?
I love my job, Patrice. Do you love your job?
Yeah, I do, because I'm retired.
Nice.
I wake up Monday morning all depressed about having it. No, hang on a minute.
I'm retired.
I am and I'm not tired as well.
Nice.
It's a lovely thing.
What's your question for Sam today?
Breeder Amber. Hardly any wind, blue sky, the sea is like a mirror.
Glorious.
I should be fishing.
Ah, okay. Well, let's get a crack on with this and pick up your fishing rod and off you go, Patrice. What can we do for you this morning?
I've got an old man salt bush that I bought a couple of years ago off a mate who owns a nursery here.
Yeah.
And it is booming, as it would here, right here in Goolwa Beach.
Yep.
Can I cut pieces off and because my brother's got a bit of a property at Flaxley.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, can I have some of that?
Of course he can. And Patrice, it grows so easy from a cutting. So you take the tip cutting. You can get yourself a little bit of hormone gel. That's for the cutting, not for yourself. And you can dip it in that, and you just basically you can grow it in your beach sand that you have there, propagate it in that, develops roots really quickly. I'd wait for another month till it warms up a bit, but they grow so easy from a cutting.
Nice work there. Good luck with that, Patrice. Ruth is in Duncraig. Hi, Ruth. What's your question for Sab?
Hi, good morning. I have two young avocado trees, about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They've now eventually decided to grow, and they're about 2.5 metres tall.
Yep.
When can I prune them back, and how much by?
Well, I wouldn't prune them just yet. Do you have to prune them?
No, I just don't want them to get too high, and then hopefully one day when they do produce fruit, then I...
Yeah, you can get to the fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would leave it now until spring the following year.
Okay.
Depending which variety you've got. What have you got? you don't know.
I don't know. One is a round, one is the round one, and the other I think is a puerte.
Okay. So one could be a reed, and that should be fruiting now, so you wouldn't prune that in spring. The thing with avocados is don't prune them in winter. Basically, you prune them when they finish fruiting. So depending on what you've got,
Never fruited.
No, yours don't, but you need to look at when their main fruiting is. The best time to prune is when they've finished developing fruit and the fruit's, fully formed, as long as it's not mid-winter.
Okay, fantastic. Yep. Thank you very much indeed.
All right, thanks,
Good on
Ruth.
You. Thanks, Ruth. Herb is in Byford. How's it going, Herb?
Oh, good morning, thanks.
Good morning, yes. Herb. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Well, I'm still having it.
Ah.
Some of our well-established lettuce that are reproducing themselves across the garden, and nasturtiums, flowers and leaves.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have such a beautiful breakfast every morning, I reckon, Herb.
Yeah. Send us a photo.
Do you know, people don't realise that lettuce, if you let a couple of them go to seed, they bloody produce lettuces everywhere.
Well, yeah, we found out about that at the end of the season. I have to sort them out with a whippersnipper.
That's one way of getting your salad leaves.
Yeah, tossing the salad. That's a chopped salad at that point, isn't it?
Do you have the bowls sort of standing a metre away and they can flick in there once you've gone through with the whippersnipper?
Yeah. Eileen can stand nearby with a helmet on.
Oh, I have a picture in my mind now. That is so beautiful.
Herb is always saying something promo-worthy on Roots and Shoots. What's your question for Sab today, Herb?
Right. Well, there's two. One, they're both about transplanting.
Yes.
One, since I've done, 15 years of bushland regeneration on the place here.
Yeah.
We've got these fairy orchids that we've got in patches.
Wow.
Nice.
They just brought themselves up. And a couple of Zamia palms. And we got one left now, and I'd like some hints on how we can plant these things up into pots for moving.
Okay. So with your Zamias, you're going to have a long-handled shovel and dig deep. They do transplant well.
Well, this is a baby one we got here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes, a single leaf.
Okay, well, that's easy peasy, but you will notice that that it will, in spite of its size, it will go down a fair way into the ground. So use a wetting agent first, wet the soil first before you dig it up.
Oh, very important, okay.
Yeah, because you want the soil mass to stay around the root system. And then are you going to pot it up or are you going to put it in the ground?
I'll get a pot as big as needed.
Yep. Really, really well in pot culture, Herb. No problem. Right. And I'd be doing that now if I were you.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Yep. And what about the fairy orchids?
Oof. Now that's in an area that I know nothing about. Well, we've had
the orchid guy on.
We just had Kingsley on. I wonder if we can. Get him. Can you wait until next week and I'll have a chat with Kingsley Dixon to find out what you need to do? So you want to transplant them or move them to another spot?
Yeah, put them in a pot if possible.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We've had them coming up, in a pot alongside a guava tree.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
but they don't survive.
They don't survive. Okay, so that's a real specialist thing that I have no knowledge of, but I will speak to Kingsley during the week. So over your breakfast next Saturday, Herb, listen to us and I will give you the answer to that from an orchid specialist.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Herb.
Yeah. Thanks, Herb. Say hi to Eileen.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy.
They are the cutest pair.
I know. Enjoy your whippersnipper thrown lettuce
and
this morning.
Hands.
I know. It's so beautiful. This is what restores faith in humanity.
It does.
Herb and Eileen.
Herb and Eileen.
Yeah.
Sue is in Esperance. Hello, Sue. Are you going to restore our faith in humanity or are you going to make me sad about if I top three or something?
No, I won't make you sad. No. I am in Esperance.
Yes.
Hello, girls. I am in Esperance. I've got six mature roses.
Yeah.
They've still all got their leaves, and I'd love, I know everybody does, I'd love to have flowers at Christmas. Is there any way I can delay pruning until...
Yeah, of course you can. Absolutely.
So when would I prune them, Sabrina?
People do that trick all the time.
Okay.
So you want the flowers for Christmas, did you say?
Yeah, or about then, yeah.
About then. Okay, what are we in now? August, September, October, November. You're going to have to do a couple of prunes, okay?
Okay.
So you can prune them now, but don't do the heavy winter prune that you would normally do.
Right.
And then 6 weeks before Christmas, you do another light prune.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give it a go.
All right. Well, good luck. And Sue, let us know if that works.
Well,
better. No, it should work. It should work.
No, that's okay.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
all else fails, I'll take photos of them and put them around.
Thank you, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Bye.
1-300-221-025. We have a couple of lines free. And congratulations to Biased Barb in Geraldton, who has a garment.
Ooh.
It's been featured at fashion events in Sydney and New York this week.
Wow.
Well, recently.
Ooh.
Congrats.
That's pretty awesome.
She's gone from Geraldton horticulturalist to New York Fashion Week. But her botanical designs are heading to New York Fashion Week. Well, congrats, Barb, friend of the show. We are proud of you.
Indeed,
well,
we are.
Chat about pride.
Yes, I was listening to that.
Actually, we are joyful for you.
But she may not have an enormous ego. She's just worked extremely hard and she's very talented.
Julie raised the point, though, if we say we're proud of someone else, it's like we're stealing the thing that they've done, which I kind of get. And maybe joy is like we feel joy for you because I'm sure that brought a lot of joy to you.
Sometimes I think people just overthink stuff. It might be age, my age. But I just think, let's keep it simple.
Should we have an Overthinkers Anonymous group?
I think we definitely need one of them.
A new badge. Men who prune too much, Overthinkers Anonymous, and Fronds with Benefits.
We haven't heard from our Fronds with Benefits for a while.
We haven't. Okay, it's time for...
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
Here we go. We've just lowered our sheets.
We have.
Our sheets? Our chairs?
Our chairs. I didn't bring my sheets.
And we look like a pair of kindergartners with our chins on the desk.
I know. So I get little hands above the desk.
I booby-trap chairs. I love to be a low sitter and then someone who's a high sitter will come and sit on one of my chairs and they fall for the bath. I did it to Jo Chilling, not intentionally, but she just went woo for the last foot. Before she sat and she rightfully blamed me.
You do get a surprise when that happens. We were talking about the Queen of Sheba.
Yes, we were.
Do you know orchid lovers are usually really fanatical about orchids.
Yes.
And they're mad. Sometimes they're just mad.
I love people who are that into something.
Oh, yeah, because if you want to look for West Australian orchids, you have to get on your belly and crawl through the ground.
Yeah.
That's because they're not big.
They're tiny and they're rare.
They're very small. So in honour of the Queen of Sheba, I thought we'd play Queen. And this is a track, Killer Queen, because the Queen of Sheba, she's a killer.
Nice.
She keeps them always shut.
There you go. That's in honour of the Queen and Sheba orchid, which has been cloned by Kingsley Dixon and his team. It's was on the verge of extinction and it's such a valuable thing to have.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
And you're not just with Amber and Sabrina, you're also with Asha Couch, who is in Jervis Bay, sending us text messages, being an all bossy about things that we've failed to do, one of which is to read the Plant Swap Bizzo, which is happening at Perth City Farm on Saturday the 29th of August between 9 and 10. Come and drop your plants from 8 a.m. at the barn. All plant and seedling varieties are accepted as long as they are in good condition and healthy. They need to be in certified potting mix, which is very important. So do come along to the Saturday Breakfast Plant Swap at Perth City Farm on August 29th. come and say hi to Christine Layton. I'm going to be on holidays at that point. Christine will be standing in for me while I'm away. Sabrina will be there, all your favourites. It was such a delightful event last year. Very good feeling in the room, and what a gorgeous place to be, City Farm. You can grab a coffee. You can grab your veggies for the week. They have a lovely array of mushrooms, Sabrina Hahn.
They do, and homemade bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, true. Okay. Norm.
46. So come in 46.
I'm in number 46. Norm?
Norm, are you number 46?
I am. I'm from Marmion. How are you?
Very well, Norm.
What's going on with your silver princess?
Yes, well, I grew them from seed. Mm-hmm. They're about 5 or 6 years old now in the ground. Live in Marmion, so it's fairly sandy, alkaline soil.
Yep.
And they're not flowering. I want to know what I need to do to get them to flower.
Wow, they do like a bit of gravelly loam, the old silver princess, Norm.
Okay.
So what
I
would
get that into it.
Okay, so you dig a little trench about 40 centimetres from the main trunk. You can actually get you can get clay and loam from a landscape yard.
Right.
You can take just a bag down, fill the bag up.
Yeah.
Ring the landscape yards first to see if they have that. If you go to the hills, you'll definitely be able to get it.
Okay.
So there's a gravelly loam is the best thing for them. So if you dig a trench, now make the trench, you want it about 20 centimetres wide. Make sure you don't interfere with the root system. Fill it up with gravelly loam, a bit of compost and some native slow-release fertiliser.
Okay.
So
that'll do the trick. All right. Thank you for your help.
Okay. Thanks, Norm.
Thanks, Norm. Marianne is in Bull Creek. Hi, Marianne.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Thanks for hanging on so patiently.
I'm used to hanging on.
Oh, good. Are you a gymnast?
Oh, I'd like to be. You two can look like this through total neglect.
I know the feeling.
Oh, lovely. Kindred spirits. Very quickly, middle of last year, I took all the succulents out for under a 40 to 50-year-old lemon tree.
Wow.
And I bought sheep and cow manure.
Yeah.
And I turned it over and I put lovely dichondra in.
Yes.
The only thing that's growing is clover, and it's the size of the palm of your hand.
Oh, my God.
I know. And the rest of the sheep and cow manure, I put out the back. You thought it grows big out the front. You should see it out the back. It's on steroids.
Well, it's clearly loving the poo.
Well, it is, but I didn't read the small print where it says these sheep and cow just go for clover and they don't go for anything else. And so I'm trying to work out. Someone said to me the other day, just get some of those weed killers with a little brush. I thought, Jesus, I'm not going to live long enough. I'm not going to live long enough to do that.
Oh, especially if it's with a little eyeshadow brush.
I love
something.
It that we've invoked Jesus Christ in the garden. So
well, you always call on him as the last resort, and he's not even helping. So I'm trying to work out what the hell can I do?
Well, now we've got God as well.
We're deeply religious this morning, Marianne. Okay, so there is a clover's really hard to kill.
Oh, thank you.
Now there is a an organic weed killer that's made from the oil of pelargoniums.
Oh, okay.
Now, it really knocks the clover around, but it doesn't kill it. You will have to do it a few times.
Oh, I don't think we'll live long enough to do all that.
No, spray it because it won't.
Oh, spray it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay. All right, I can do that.
So now, my tip for anyone that's got a lot of weeds that they have to knock off is to get a battery-operated sprayer where you don't have to do the pump, 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 pump.
Oh, okay.
So you just click a switch and then off you go. Now, it'll go yellow. And it'll knock it back, but you will have to give it a second bashing.
It won't affect the lemon tree, though, will it?
No, no, no. Just the clover. It's not going to harm your lemon tree. It's not. Okay. So, it's not like a herbicide.
Oh, okay, okay, all right. Mm. And one other question, very quickly. Last night, my caboodle was in a hurry to get out the back. I thought I was going to chase a rat.
Yeah.
He shot out the back door so fast, like a cannon, like you wouldn't believe. But he didn't go looking for rats. He went straight to the pet grass and he ate it like a dog possessed.
Oh.
And I'm trying to work out, does he think it's something that's, it's just pet grass. So
yeah,
he was eating it so quickly that he was drooling at the mouth and I thought he was going to die.
Well, quite often they do that to make themselves vomit.
Oh. No, he hasn't. So whether he's holding it all back for tonight, I don't know.
Was there anything on the pet grass?
No, no, just straight out pet grass.
No wee from a capricious girl cavoodle?
Oh, no. Bailey's too handsome for any of them, so he's cavoodled singly. Oh, no, I can't let him roam because he literally is. If he went like that with a pet grass, I dread to think what he'd like with a three-male cavoodle.
It's that. Well, I don't know.
It's all happening in Bull Creek, isn't it?
It's going off. I don't know what that behaviour could possibly mean.
He's sleeping a lot now, so I'm just wondering if he's high as a kite myself.
Do you know what species it is?
Which
pet grass? There's about six different things they call pet grass, so I'm just wondering.
It actually looks a lot like a kikuri.
Hmm. Maybe he's got a mineral deficiency and he just thought, you know, one day I will get out and find myself a lovely lady friend. I'm just going to boost myself up for the event.
So in other words, if I crush up some multivitamins and vitamin D and C and put it into his meat, you reckon that might recover?
So, Marianne, I really hate to poop your party, but she's a gardener. She's not a vet. And I'm just a DJ.
I just don't know. I don't know why animals do weird things and the stuff that we don't know why it's happening, basically. Yeah. But
Well, I'll finish on this note, Sabrina. You'll never find a grumpy gardener, but you find a lot with bad backs.
And knees, Marianne. And knees.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Thank you ever so much for your help and your advice.
Thank you, Marianne.
Marty suggests, she says, clover's a great thing to have in soil as it's a legume and thus a nitrogen fixer. Just don't let it go to seed. Just drop and chop the foliage. Let's love our weeds.
Yeah. Well, you can drop and chop, but it'll come back.
Yeah. Sam.
Hi, Sam. Geraldton.
Good morning, ladies. How are we both?
Oh, we are fine. How are our boys?
How are the kids?
How's our boys?
Both yesterday we had a wedding at Orchard Glory up in Bindoon. And so we just got back from Perth yesterday, so they're both a little bit whingy, but apart from that, they're both quite good.
Did you have to put on your good moleskins?
Well, I was actually the photographer, so I was pretty busy the whole day.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Well, I hope you took some photos of the boys that you can send at the aunties here.
Best moleskins and a good chambray shirt.
Oh, chambray? And one of those tie things that looks like a shoelace.
And an expensive boot.
Oh, yeah. You've got to have
the branded boot.
Yep.
Did you have a question for Sabrina while I just hog the airwaves?
Yes, I did, and I find it quite funny, actually. The producer said I should be quick, and yet you two are the one that dragged me off.
What a burn. What a burn.
She's been a bit bossy this morning, actually.
Asher's terrified of us. Carry on, Sam. Sorry.
I know how much you love citrus questions.
Yeah,
I
do.
Small blood orange tree, which I planted probably 12 months ago. It's about 75 centimetres tall.
Yep.
I've now come to the realisation it's actually in the wrong spot because there's not going to be any room for it to grow around it.
Yep.
If I kind of dig that out or dig around it, am I able to transplant that?
Absolutely. No worries at all, Sam, because I have full confidence in your gardening prowess. They transplant really well, Sam. No problem at all.
Brilliant.
The big thing is have your hole dug, prepped, good to go, out of one hole, into another.
With sound effects.
With sound effects, just for you, Sam. Yep, that's it.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you,
We'll
Sam.
Be quick too now.
Yep.
And who have we got now? We've got...
Jay.
Jay in Lower Chittering. Hi, Jay.
G'day, ladies. How are you?
Very well. Are you in a tractor?
Not quite. Not quite. We're in the car.
Ah, okay. Well, what can we do for you, Jay?
Mostly you.
We have an abundance of the red-legged earth mites all over our leafy green.
Sods of things.
How do you get rid of those?
Now, there are mites for mites. You can release predatory mites that will knock off your red-legged mites, or you get in about 3,000 spiders and release them. Probably a bit hard to get 3,000 spiders that quickly. There are websites that sell bugs, and there are predators that eat the red-legged earth mites. Or you can spray sulfur, but if it's on your veggies, you're better off, I reckon, getting a bug that eats those bugs. So you go online.
All right.
And you...
So we go online and we find a bug to eat the bugs.
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing. There's a few predators for red-legged earth mites.
Okay.
So give that a crack.
All right. And will those just go for the mites, or yep, will they eat the leafies too?
No. They're not going to eat your leaves.
They'll come in and eat you while you're sleeping.
Well, there's enough. Hopefully, there's enough mites for them to eat.
Yeah. I know. It's they just produce gazillions of them. The earth mite, the red-legged earth mite, spotty mite.
Okay.
That's my tip. Especially for veggie growers, if you want, if you want spray-free food.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah,
good luck with
it. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Cheers.
Ian is in North Perth. Hi, Ian. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
How are you, ladies? Super duper.
That's good. Look, I've got an olive tree. It's about 20 years old, about 30 centimetres around, diameter at the base.
Yeah.
And it's up against a brick wall, and I'm worried that it's going to crack the foundations, and I want to try and move it. Is that possible?
Absolutely. They move olive trees when they're 200 years old. So yours is a spring chicken, Ian.
Okay,
they transplant really well. You will need to top prune it, though. And I would be doing it now before it gets hot, so it gets new foliage before the heat of summer. Take at least a third off the top, thin it out in the middle.
Yep.
Have the hole prepped wherever you're going to put it. So in the hole, to put a little bit of clay, a bit of compost, wetting agent, some slow-release fertilizer, and when you might need a sabby stabby to get the root system, because the wood is really hard. You might need a sabby sabby, a recip saw, to cut the root system so you can get it out cleanly.
That was my question, because I can only get at 180 degrees around the roots.
Yeah.
And I've got a digger lined up to come in, a small excavator.
Yep.
And so I was going to get him to dig 180 around it, and then I was going to try and sort of like get it hanging by the excavator and get under it with a recip. I've never seen olive tree roots. How deep do they go, and how savage can I get with a recip?
Well, you're going to have to get savage, Ian, otherwise you won't be able to get it out of the ground, because if the root system's gone under the fence, you're going to take half your fence out, because the roots go down fairly deep, but they've got these big anchor roots that come out that are close to the surface. But honestly, I have seen 200-year-old olive trees being ripped out with a little loader and transplanted, and they're fine. Yep.
Extraordinary.
Okay.
Good plant.
Okay, so I'm not wasting my money trying to shave it.
No,
it
Ian. No, not at all.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you very much for your for that information, and have a good morning.
Thanks, Ian.
You too, Ian.
Okay.
Bye. See ya.
Lovely question. Hi, Geraldine and Sab. How best can we plant a community garden on stage at the Roxy Lane Theatre for a show called Community Garden? It's on from August 7th, so you've got a week to get your act together. Basically, bright, edible and veggie plants that can survive 3 weeks on stage and periods of bright stage lights. That's a big ask.
Well, Geraldine, what would your advice be? I mean, any of the Asian greens, the bok choy, the pak choy, the Mazuma.
All your choys.
All the choys are good. Parsley will do really, really well. You need to get them where they're large so the leaf matter has taken as much sunlight as possible to survive that length of time. Get them in big pots. Go for the Asian greens would be my tip.
There you go. That sounds like very good advice. Good and easy to follow advice. David is in Mount Hawthorn. Good morning, David.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Amber. Great show. I've got some little creature digging up my garden in the middle of the night. Not sure whether it's an antechinus or a rat.
Or both.
It has stripped my beautiful golden cane bamboo. It's taken every leaf. It's dropped every leaf. And I'm just wondering, would a rat be able to reach the ends of the bamboo? Because every leaf disappears.
Oh, yes, absolutely they can. My goodness. Yeah, they can jump 3 metres. They can scale anything. So one would hope that it's an antechinus, but I don't know so much. Rats strip all sorts of stuff. Now, what you can do is around the base of the plants that they're digging up is get fennel, which they use it as a bin cleaner. Rats hate the smell of it. They hate the smell of peppermint oil. You could even just dip rags in the peppermint oil and wrap it around the base of the plants that they're going for.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I hope that it's antechinus for you, because that's much nicer to think that you're providing them food than bloody rats.
I feel there's more than David on the end of this phone line. Who's joining you, David?
we think like it's digging. I didn't know rats actually dug holes.
But it's unusual for antechinus to actually climb anything.
Oh, okay.
So, but rats, of course, will.
Yeah.
Did you get a photograph, Sabrina?
Sorry?
We sent some photographs. Did you get them?
There are just so many photographs through.
Oh, okay.
Was it a photograph of the chewing or the holes?
They were playing in the garden in the middle of the night.
Just our garden is all mulched down. So
yeah.
They're not going for plants. They're just randomly digging. Yeah.
The other thing is when you put mulch down, you get worms and rats as well as antechinus. We'll have a dig for that. Antechinus are more after the root system. Rats are going for any other form of life that's underneath the mulch. You will tell by the poo.
Okay.
So antechinus and rat poo are very different from each other. So that might be, you know, it's really great, and all gardeners should have a little wildlife camera set up. You would be amazed what comes into the garden at night time.
Yes, this is how we got the photograph, Sabrina.
Oh, damn it. We haven't got.
I don't know why we can't see them.
Can you text one through now?
Hang on, what's this? Oh. This looks, no.
No, that's someone's that's the celebration.
Theatre play.
Mm.
Theatre.
Can you send it through now? Have you got the number?
We
will find it, and I will come back to you next week. So we'll find the photo.
Thank you, David.
Just one quick thing. I did. I have to tell this story because I hung tampons in the bamboo.
Oh.
I put peppermint oil on them. But unfortunately, it rained and everything popped. It looked really gorgeous.
Sort of a Christmas in July decoration that you've done there, David. I love your enthusiasm for this. I hope you sent that photo because that would be great to have.
Thank you, you too.
Oh, thank you.
It's been an absolute delight. Oh, beautiful people. Roots and Shoots just has the best people.
Oh, we do. We so do.
Kendall is in Carlisle. Hi, Kendall. What would you like to ask Sabrina?
Good morning, ladies.
Oh, Kendall,
how are you?
Hello.
Hello, lovely. I was letting anyone who's driving know that there are a bunch of hungry Carnabies driving, flying around Tonkin Highway, Leach Highway, Row, Welsh Pool sort of area. Eating Banksias and too low to the road. So please slow down and be careful.
Please slow down. And I think you might be involved with
Corridors for Carnabies.
Yeah.
I have some Banksias that you might want to put in more appropriate locations to give away to people in the town of Vic Park.
So and when are you doing that? There, when are you doing it?
I have some sitting there right now that Kingsley said need to be planted kind of right now.
And how do people get to them, get to you, that get to the Banksias?
They can email nuts4cockies, so that's a number 4, and cockies is cockies@gmail.com, or you can go onto a Facebook community group called Food Trees for Vic Park's Black Cockatoos.
You are an absolute saint, Kendall, and we hope that every man, woman, child and their dog comes to get those free Banksias. And
I definitely hope so, and hopefully next month some macadamias. So keep your bog witch fingers crossed for that.
Kendall, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Bye.
It's been a very lovely edition of Roots and Shoots. It always is.
It is, isn't it? There were such a beautiful people we have here.
Yeah, we do. And I am very grateful for you and for everyone who engages with us. And sorry to everyone who we didn't get to in your texts and phone calls, but please keep trying. It's 10 o'clock. It's time for the Sporty Boys. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock or on Tuesdays from 2:30. You can listen on your radio to 102.5 ABC Perth, on DAB Plus or 102.5 FM. You can text your questions in on 0437 221025, or call us in the studio and have a chat on 1300 221025. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.